very inspired by how many people are embracing sound and storytelling, whether it's podcasting or listening, and just coming to this convention and seeing the turnout and seeing the crowds that were showing up, the lines to go into these things. I'm very pleased to see that that's happening. For a time, it felt like that was kind of dying out and not going to be a viable outcome, where other countries are still producing and embracing it. But now to see this is very heartening, to see that it's really being embraced, and because it's being able to be funded in a way that people can actually make a living doing that. And that's the key. Before, podcasting was like doing your own in a blog or doing something that wasn't really about making money. It was about just telling your story. But now you can tell your story and be able to make your living, which means you can do what you love.
Welcome to Starve the Doubts. I'm your host, Jared Easley. Joining me today is my friend, my new friend, David Shin from Sue Media Productions. David is the technical director of the Here Now Festival, among other cool things. A lot of hats are being worn. David, welcome to Anaheim.
Why, thank you. Yes, all my hats that I admit to are having something to do with sound, because that's really my passion. You know, there's a lot of things I know how to do, but no one will ever know that I know how to do them, because unless it has something to do with sound.
Well, you and I met for the first time this weekend at the Now Hear This podcast festival in Anaheim. And as soon as we started chatting, I was like, this is someone I need to chat with on the podcast. You've been gracious enough to come and sit down with me. So first of all, are you always this generous?
I try to be. People were very generous to me. And so sure. My way of giving back is to help pass the baton and be generous to other people, because I think the more people that are doing quality production and following their passions, so that they can actually come up with something that's, you know, I think, a benefit to the greater public, you know, why not? Why be stingy?
I appreciate you having that perspective, because some people have the opposite perspective where they say, okay, I can't give to you, David, because that takes away from what I'm doing.
Yeah, that's coming from a place of lack. See, if you're coming from a place of abundance, then you know more will come by the more you give. So, I mean, really.
What are some lessons you've learned based off of that?
Well, you never know what things lead to, you know, when you meet people and all of that. And so in being kind and generous and all of that, I've actually got a lot of benefit that has come back personally to me because of that standpoint. So, you know, that practice what you preach. When you actually do experience it, you realize the value of being generous and open about this, instead of proprietary and saying, no, I have to hold on to it so that, you know, someone else will get the job. There's plenty enough out there for all of us, especially if you're true to your passion.
Would you be willing to share an example?
Okay, I'll give you an example. I used to have a terrible fear of public speaking.
Interesting.
Okay,
you don't seem like you'd have a fear of that.
Well, thank you. And it was a childhood experience. You know, I was in a play, stepped up on stage, and I didn't realize, you know, there's this audience of all these parents and peers and all that. And I literally choked. I like froze, turned around and ran off stage. And it's like, oh my God, I'm never going back. And so it wasn't actually until I found radio, that's where I first got my start. And I called up a station saying, you know, why don't you put this programming on? And the guy said, why don't you put in a program proposal? I'm thinking, me on the radio? I don't think so. And then I thought about it. And at that time, I wasn't happy with my work and my life. I said, why not? Okay, what do I got to lose? So I showed up, and it was one of those sink or swim moments. You know, I thought I'd go in the back room, I get a little training. No, the program director, in order to weed out the people that weren't truly passionate about wanting to do that,
sure.
He literally walked in, took the guy live on the air off, and sat me down and said, here you go. Here's the CD. Here's the public service announcement and all that. And literally my stomach went all the way to my throat, you know, and it was like that moment. Okay, are you going to walk off stage and not look back? And I went ahead and took the risk. And the next thing you know, I was trained on the air. I had my own show for about 4 years, which led me into learning about the production, and my professional development went my career in a completely different direction. And that's now I'm involved in sound. And because that program director saw that as a possibility, I mean, when we spoke, he was very generous with me, and which really my life is in a much better place because of that. So that's an example of someone being generous to me. So I, in turn, try to be generous as well.
Well, I also applaud you on taking the courage to continue moving forward with that. You could have had that experience like you had when you were younger.
That's true.
But you decided, no, I'm gonna go for it.
And yes.
A good thing came from it.
Thank you. Yeah.
Okay, so why are you passionate about sound?
Well, I think it's one of the most effective mediums of all of them, because you can affect people's emotions, you can paint pictures in their mind, all just through sound. So in some ways, it's the most primal, powerful medium that's there. And it just fascinated me. And so, you know, getting into a good story, whether it's, you know, a podcast or an audio book or a radio drama, audio theater, whatever it is, you know, immerses you and takes you to this whole other place, especially if it's done well. And, you know, there's stuff that's not done well and you can't track it. You know, it shatters your disbelief and you can't follow. But if it's done really well, it's invisible and you get carried on this amazing journey.
What are some sounds that you love?
Wow. Okay. I look at the whole sound window. It's not just the music, not just the voice and sound effects, the ambience where you are, the acoustic sound, like where you're in a airport bathroom versus out in the jungle in, you know, a raft going down the water. All of those sounds, you can use those also in telling your story. One of these, one of the people I look up to as far as that kind of production, he would go out into the Amazon rainforest or into Bali or Indonesia or all over the place, record all these amazing ambiences, then write stories to incorporate that and put all of his stories and actors within that space. And, you know, this is, you know, what helped kind of inspire me to begin with.
What's a sound that is nostalgic for you, whether good or bad? When you hear it, you're like, oh, that takes me to this.
Well, I've done some manual sound effects work, like Foley for film or sound effects for that.
Right.
And so there's the sound of a door squeak.
Right.
That one, it takes me right back into, you know, a production or performing or being a part of that. Some people, wow, you're passionate about door squeaks?
Well, I don't know about that, but I find it interesting that that reminds you of.
Well, yeah, I have we have a swinging door in our kitchen, and it makes a really loud squeaky noise, and I refuse to oil it. So every time I walk through, because, you know, I'm a sound guy, and of course my house should make noise.
That's a good example, actually. I like that. All right, so one thing that I've learned about you is you're very involved with the Here Now Festival. So there's going to be some people who don't know what that is. So let's talk about what it is and why you're so involved.
Well, the organization that started the Here Now Festival is over 30 years old. And it started out as a training kind of workshop environment where they would teach the art form of telling, like a radio drama, audio theater, that kind of starting in the classroom and ending on a live venue, real stage, simulcast on the public radio satellite system, the local 100,000 watt radio station. And the process of learning, the people that went through that had a really good retention of what they learned. They bonded, teamwork, you know, working on a real, not just an abstract production, but a real, and that was so powerful. And we said, wow, but there's no place for them to showcase what they've been learning. And there's a lot of people that are producing some amazing stuff, but there wasn't really a platform. So we, about 6 years ago, decided that, you know what, we'll create like a film festival concept, but for sound. So we have 9 venues over the course of 4 days, and we have live and pre-produced in really good listening environments. Because you go to a convention, and usually the sound just sucks.
Yeah.
And so we're putting all of these productions in a place where you actually can hear them in really high quality, like movie theater sounds, binaural wireless headphones, so you have like a binaural theater, so everyone's getting that surround binaural experience. To I'm on stage, Mark Twain readings at a bookstore, and we have, you know, at the World War I Museum, we've done interesting and engaging stories, the library. I mean, I could go on and on and on about the festival, but Here Now Festival came out of that. And now, coming up next June, will be our 5th year.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
That's exciting. What about for someone who's saying, okay, I'm not in the Midwest. Mm-hmm. Is there anything like that where I live? How could they find out about that?
Well, you can go to the herenowfestival.org, and there's other, we had like Podcast Palooza, which a lot of people would submit their work, and it was a platform for them to be able to be heard. And we did a whole like midnight listenings, which is more like adult themed stuff. You could go and actually, you know, we had like a William Burroughs evening where the guy did a live, almost like a William Burroughs slam of voice work with sound effects and music, you know, so they have all different kinds of ways of telling the story. So you have this poetry and you have the sound effects and you have podcasting and you have all that. So as a resource, the Here Now Festival is that possibility to find out about what's going on. And we also do satellite events. So it's not just the event this in June. It's also in the West Coast, East Coast in alternating falls.
Awesome. So, and what about like local meetups, anything like that? Or,
well, you know,
have you seen those that might be good? Or
I think that that is something that we're reaching for with, sure, you know, having a more of a, we have a Facebook page and Twitter and, you know, the social media presence. And we're looking at incorporating, trying to offer that. And we are open to suggestions and ideas because this is a festival that's really what people want to actually see and participate in. And a lot of the stuff we do will actually broadcast live over the internet. So you can actually listen to while we're doing it. Even if you can't make it to the festival, you can still enjoy the programming while it's happening. Right. Because a number of the different performances we actually do live.
Do you agree that the festival, one of the biggest takeaways from that is not just what you're learning there, but also the networking and the meeting and the
masterminding? Yeah, actually every night we have an after party where you get to meet the people, discuss what you liked and didn't like. You know, we have other, you know, musical entertainment as well. You know, so we have really the opportunities for also to demystify if you're really curious on how to do this. We also have still a training portion, even though we're not a workshop anymore.
Right.
We have a part of ours, we like a workshop one-on-one where we do different themes each year. And this last one, actually, we had Frank Stacio from NPR in Raleigh, Durham, North Carolina, came in with a fellow, right now I can't remember his name, he did a graphic novel. And they used the graphic novel as a teaching tool of how to make a podcast. So they used it and made a podcast of the graphic novel.
Oh, that's great.
And then they performed it at the closing ceremony of the festival.
Love it. That's a great idea.
So, you know, we offer some training possibilities and other resources and really trying to, you know, have a platform for all of this to be showcased.
No, that's fantastic. Let's do finish this sentence. Finish this sentence. If you want to improve your sound, blank.
Improve your sound. Well, I'm going to actually do more of a paragraph if you're okay with that, because, you know, I've listened to productions where the sound was horrible, but it was so creatively put together. It was engaging and you forgave that sound.
Sure.
It's really not about what better sound. It's really about, you know, the creativity and channeling, authentically channeling whatever the story is. So that will, I think, improve your sound better than saying, oh, we'll have this microphone or have this recorder or do whatever it is. I think that would be probably the thing I would say would improve your sound. Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think it does. Let's talk storytelling for a minute. What's something that's critical in storytelling that some people miss?
Well, I think part of it has to do with how technology has shortened the attention span of the listening audience.
Is that a bad thing?
Partly, because I think being able to sit down for more longer form, you have a much richer experience.
Okay.
You know, podcasts are kind of an anomaly in a way because you have the freedom for a longer format, whereas the commercial radio or commercial TV or something, you're getting these sound bites, these little short commercials. And a lot of the things with technology has a very short attention span kind of thing. So as we grow up, that's what we get used to. So we don't even have the patience to actually listen to a longer form thing, which is now, I think, changing a little bit because podcasting is becoming very popular. And some of this, you know, some people listen to audiobooks or longer kind of form content. But I think that that's the real challenge, is the attention span.
Flip just for a moment here and talk about patience, especially when it comes to creating something.
Mm-hmm.
There's one mindset that says, hey, I want to see a result immediately.
Sure. Instant gratification.
Yeah, that instant gratification versus someone that says, no, I'm going to create something that's going to take some time to build. Which side do you fall on? And do you have an opinion on the two?
Well, I personally do both. I do live productions where you're just making it right there, which takes a lot of preparation ahead of time, you know, to do it really well. And then you have the post-produced stuff that all of your work is afterwards in, you know, mixing and editing and creating it. So I like them both for two different reasons. Mm-hmm. I like live because there's a certain energy about live that is sometimes hard to capture in a studio production. So I lean more on being prepared, whether it, on either way, because people will listen to a program I do, and they, you know, let's say it's a half an hour program. They go, well, how long did I put you, would it take me about, 45 minutes to do? Not realizing that some of this very layered, textured, high level of production, you can spend hours per minute.
I believe
that. And people
that.
Have no idea. It's like this 30-minute production took me a 40-hour work week to do, you know? Because of everything that was involved in it. So it's because it's invisible, it's sound, people don't really realize. They just know if it sucks, it doesn't sound good, or doesn't engage them, then they know that something's wrong with it. But so I err on the time of, you know, I either try to really prepare for the live and then allow to be, you know, get out of the way of channeling what's being, I mean, capturing what's being channeled. You see what I'm saying?
I do.
Yeah.
Do you have a balance or suggestion on what a balance looks like between doing something that you're passionate about, but also being practical about it?
That's tough. I've fortunately been able to, for myself, make a name which because of my obsessive nature about making sure it's really good, which is good. People hire me, but it's bad because I don't know when to say, okay, it's good now. It's done. You can turn it over. You know, so I could fuss things.
Perfection's the enemy kind of thing?
Sometimes. So it's about learning that balance. You know, and also I try not to get in the way of capturing whatever creative moment by over-engineering or over-planning. So you have to have a little bit of a balance. Be prepared, but be allowed for the spontaneous stuff that you capture in live performance, or even when you're in a studio capturing a particular performance or whatever it is to allow for that to be. The best engineers I know, usually once they put and are there, they're invisible. So they're capturing everything that's, you know, and they're good with taking their notes and all of that.
What's a documentary that you've seen recently that you recommend?
This is funny. There's two of them because I was on the plane, New York, California.
Right.
One was Some, which was a story about four guys trying to get their Master Sommelier certificate, which I had no idea. It was like three levels of PhD. It's like at a 96% failure rate.
Oh, my goodness.
Only four guys out of every 100 actually passed this thing. And I thought it'd be boring, but it was actually sucked me in, and it was quite fascinating. I was surprised. I thought, I'm wine. Learning to be you smell it, you taste it, big deal, right?
Right.
So yeah, that one, the most recent one, that's because I just saw it. I've been actually mulling it over. It's like, wow, I had no idea that you had to have that level of understanding and sensitivity for three whites and three reds to be able to say what grape, what year, what region, everything about it, just from tasting it. And there's like 5,000 different like wine growing districts. And that's one little small portion of what and I'm not a wine snob or anything. I just kind of got fascinated. So when you're saying a documentary, that was the most recent. It was more of a documentary style kind of a production.
Yeah, I have not seen that, but that does sound interesting.
Yeah.
What about books? Any book recommendations?
A lot of the books that I get involved in is if I'm producing it. And one of them I'm in the middle of is a children's book about a Turkish artist. He's a painter who's blind. And he was born without sight. And he's one of the first documented blind painters to paint with perspective and shadow. And he actually does portraits of people. I mean,
how is that even?
Well, that's the thing. So this is a children's book to help. And he's still alive. He's living in Turkey and all of that. He, as a kid, would feel things with his hands, and he would scratch, and he'd make three-dimensional reliefs of things where he would fill in with paint. And people were saying, there's no way he can be blind. How could he do this? This looks too much like real. And he really focused on learning that, and they actually did a test on him where they did the fMRI, a functional MRI, in which they looked at the area of the brain that lights up when you use your eyes. And when he was touching, all that area was lighting up in his brain, even though he has no eyes. One eye he was born without, and the other one was diseased. So he never saw, yet that part of our brain rewires. So literally, he can see through his hands.
That is unreal.
So that's the kind of books and so I really try to be choosy about the productions I get personally involved in. The Here Now Festival is one thing I'm doing, but I also, do all aspects of sound, and I try to be an effective and engaging storyteller in, a transmedia approach, different medium, whether it's film, TV, audiobooks, radio, web, gaming. But this particular one we're just doing is an actual audiobook that's going to be released. And I'm actually very proud and I'm right now actually mastering it. And when I leave today, I have to do my final pass before I put it out because it's supposed to be released tomorrow.
Wow.
So, yeah.
So you got to roll up the sleeves a little bit.
Yeah. I have been actually, at the end of each day, I've been putting some time in on it.
Sure.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Which is one thing, technology's allowed us to be very portable with some of the stuff that we can do, which I greatly appreciate.
During this season of your life, what do you value? What's important to you?
Having family connections, relationships with people that you care about is important. Being able to sit down and have a meal instead of like on the go, grabbing a fast food, whatever it is, being able to actually have a proper meal where, with no technology, no distractions of phones or anything, actually with a person. So I value having the human connection in person. I am embraced technology. I use it in what I do. But I also like to have no technology and still have that human, like that old school interaction instead of only texting with people and things like that. So I value that very much.
No, that's well said. What's a lesson that you've learned in your lifetime, maybe as a child, that is still applicable to what you're doing now?
Well, I think the lesson is, if not now, when? If you have a passion, don't put it off to maybe someday. I was very fortunate. Both of my parents were creative people. They were artists. They lived their whole professional career and did that as what they did to make money.
Right.
And so as a kid growing up, seeing that was something like, you know, they didn't, you know, they followed their passion and their dream, and they, a lot of people will put it off or do it as on the side. Is just don't put it off, embrace it, and really, you know, because life's too short not to.
Yeah.
And opportunities come and go, but that's what I would say.
So David, as we start to wrap up here, one question is, what's the best place for people to connect with you online?
Well, one is to go and check out the Here Now Festival, .org. That I think is a good starting point. You can reach out through the website as well. And my own transmedia productions, you can go to suemediaproductions.com.
Productions.
Yeah, plural with a dog. Right. It's a long URL. Sorry, but
Sue Media Productions.
And that has, you know, a lot of the I call illuminated style, which is kind of an amalgam of have an author or narrator read a story or a full cast, and we've kind of blended the two together to create this different kind of engaging storytelling, which in one way is good because of budgets. It's not as expensive as completely dramatizing an entire book. But this gives key chapters to help kind of bring it to life. And if it's done correctly, the listener just gets carried right on through. They don't even notice it. It's just, you know, seamless.
Wow, that's very cool. Last question we always close out with is, do you have any final thoughts?
Yeah, my final thought is I'm very inspired by how many people are embracing sound and storytelling, whether it's podcasting or listening, and just coming to this convention and seeing the turnout and seeing the crowds that were showing up, the lines to go into these things. I'm very pleased to see that that's happening, because for a time it felt like that was kind of dying out and not going to be a viable outcome, where other countries are still producing and embracing it. But now to see this is very heartening, to see that it's really being embraced, and it's now actually, because it's being able to be funded in a way that people can actually make a living doing that. And that's the key. Before, podcasting was like doing your own in a blog or doing something that wasn't really about making money. It was about just telling your story. But now you can tell your story and be able to make your living, which means you can do what you love.
No shame in that. David, I've really enjoyed meeting you. I wish you well with Sue Media Productions, and of course, hope people check out the Here Now Festival. And thank you for taking time to chat.
You bet. You bet. Thank you for having me. It was a lovely, lovely conversation with you. When you actually do experience it, you realize the value of being generous and open about this, instead of proprietary and saying, no, I have to hold on to it so that then I'll be, you know, I will get someone else will get the job. There's plenty enough out there for all of us, especially if you're true to your passion.